What are you taking photos of?
I'm going to send you a picture just to kick things off.
Oh no, hope it's clean.
Yeah, it's a mini tattoo.
Oh god. Did Lachlan design this one for you as well?
How are you, Mike?
I'm very tired, Paul. How are you?
Oh, you're like my son. He's got to drive to Canberra this morning, and he's very tired.
Your son's driving to Canberra?
Yeah.
How old's Lachlan?
17.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Did I miss a year or something?
Yes, we all missed a year.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Sorry, I wasn't aware that your Lachlan was driving. Wow.
He's on his L's, so he's driving with his mother. So. His
right.
mother, my okay. wife.
But he's still driving.
My wife.
Yes. Four times.
No, we're not doing that again.
Sure. Wink.
Look, as everyone would know, I was joking. It was nowhere near that many.
Yeah. Okay. I'm so glad I hit record before I answered the call. Okay, I've seen the picture that you've sent me, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was in Albury, which is on the border of New South Wales and Victoria,
mm-hmm.
Part of the twin cities of Albury and Wodonga, which, you know,
sounds yes.
very Australian. But, yeah, yes. I was in the TK Maxx there and saw a DC, was probably about 10-inch figure, of Copperhead. And I thought, wow, no one will believe me if I said I saw that and didn't buy it, so I bought it.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul texted me and said, check out my 10-inch Copperhead. And I was like, you what? And yeah, no, he didn't. No, he just sent me the photo. So, wow, okay, I had not realized that such a thing existed.
I think I made fun of the fact that there was a Talon one. I think I alluded to the fact that... Oh, shut up. I think I alluded to the fact that, you know, we live in a world without any Doom Patrol action figures, and yet, hey, I can buy Talon. And now Copperhead, of course.
Yeah.
Yes. But I mean, I do always like Copperhead because he appeared in the Jack Knight Starman series, and he was a collector of Bakelite radios.
Of course. It's good to have, you know, your characters with their little quirks and foibles.
Yeah. Quibbles and foibles.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually. I believe it was our friend Shag who has recently been posting online pictures of DC action figures. I was like, you know what? I could really do with a good new DCU action figure line.
Yeah. I mean, the McFarlane ones aren't really doing it for me. I mean, I think I voiced online my disappointment that if I wanted to get a King Shark figure, I had to buy four other Suicide Squad
yes.
figures to make
King
Shark.
I saw that. Yeah,
yeah. And then other people said, oh, you can buy them separately, and it's not now, not here.
No.
Yeah, not.
Yeah.
Not. Yeah. As the kids say.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. We're so with it. Hello, fellow youths. But yeah, Shag's got this lovely collection of, like, you know, JLI and the JSA, and I think the last time a DC action figure line really had my interest, and I still have a soft spot for, is the old Superpowers line from the 80s.
Oh, wow.
I mean, if I was a rich man, I'd be going on eBay and get one of those Halls of Justice.
Yeah.
You know, and all the lines, all the figures with, you know, their unique superpowers. My brother had some when we were kids, but I think he had the Lexor 7, which was Lex's flying ship, which came with this gigantic kryptonite crystal in the back of it.
Lexor 7 sounds like a treatment ointment.
A little bit. And the only other figure I recall him having is, I think it was Calibac.
Ah, Calibac, yes.
The big giant hairy dude. And that was as close as we ever got to it.
Wow.
But yeah, I don't know why I've suddenly got this, like, oh, I could do with a few. But yeah, they need some Doom Patrol figures in there, for sure. Come on. You know?
No, I mean, we haven't even got Doom Patrol Pops. I mean, what did I say the other day? Oh, it's Electric Blue Superman. I saw him as a Funko.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Punchline. I saw Punchline in the shops the other day.
Hang on, as in Joker's new girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah, as in the Harley 2.0. I don't mean to diminish her, but yeah, we can call it.
Look, you're entitled to your opinion. Well, you know, it's your show.
It's more of a cheap shot than an opinion, but yeah.
Sorry, continue, yes.
Yeah, but no Cliff Steele, no Larry, no Rita, not even the Chief. I mean, yeah. I don't know if the Chief would be rushed out the door as a Funko. Yeah.
No.
I mean, I want a Flex Mentallo Funko. That's what I want.
Okay. Well, you never know. Look, I'm sure they'll get to a point where they're like, who haven't we done?
Yeah.
And they might go, what about these guys over here in the shadows? You know, malingering away. So,
what, we Funko in the shadows, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so it's been a while since we've done one of these, so as always...
last July, yeah.
But, wow. As always, we will stick to our structure.
Yep, and not talk any comics-related stuff.
Well, our structure is we just talk freely about whatever, so...
Yeah, so welcome to the Gary Show.
The Gary Show.
Yep, yep.
Gary. Yes. So, Mike, 2022, how's... you know, it's good the pandemic's over and everything's calmed down now.
You what?
Yes, for those of you who aren't up on what Australia's been doing with the pandemic, it's worse than ever. It's gone from, it's you know, under control to what the government had a policy of let her rip, and it has indeed, has indeed ripped.
Ripped it has, yes. It has ripped forth and conquered. Borders have, well, most borders have been opened, and of course it's spread like wildfire. Yeah. Imagine that. I know.
Several people who have COVID now, and and all the people with immunocompromises are very scared. So
yes,
as well they should be. It's bloody terrible.
The
fact that, you know, let's let the economy thrive has run into a snafu, in that people can't really thrive in the economy when they can't work because they've got COVID.
Yes. And those that, you know, can go and spend some money are finding that there's nothing on the shelves because, you know, people are too sick to stock shelves or drive delivery trucks or, you know. But hey, what could possibly go wrong? You know?
Yes.
Fuck. Yeah.
About to send our children back to the altar of carrying on at school.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think because... Our Lachlan, he starts in year 11 this year, so his second last year of high school, and they've delayed the senior start to the year by another week. Okay. So I think it's the very end of January he has to start online learning. That'll be fun.
Yes, and mine's back the first week of February, so we'll see what happens. Yes. Anyway, so, how have you been, Mike? Are you doing well?
I am doing. It's been a slightly, chaotic start to 2022. As we've just mentioned, the pandemic continues unabated. Well, it is baiting a bit. I guess, you know, we've got people getting their boosters and, you know, getting vaccinated and doing the right thing for the most part. What have I done since what have I done since the last Gary Show, which was in July of 2021? Since the start of this year, we actually traveled down to Melbourne to visit an aunt of Kylie's who is not well at all and may not be with us for much longer. So we did a mad dash down there over the course of a weekend, which was a little bit worrying, you know, traveling on a plane with masks and traveling into a state with even worse numbers in terms of infections. But we made it back fine. Part of that weekend involved racing around the state trying to find rapid antigen tests, which we ended up securing from a very generous stranger. who Kylie met via Facebook, who turned out to be just a few blocks from where our hotel was.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, that was really generous and really cool. So, and we both passed tests, so we're all fine. We all came back good from that. And last weekend, Kylie underwent gastric sleeve surgery.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's a bit of a big step, and she's doing really well. She's recovering fine, and she's doing really well with her dieting. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a medically themed start to the year, I guess. So, yeah, and work is the usual barrel of laughs that it is. Working from home once again. So, and interestingly, because my building is filled with several different government departments, for those not aware who are just joining us for this first time, I work for the state government here in Queensland, and we are enforcing a mandatory vaccination rule for our entire building. And unsurprisingly, there's been a little bit of pushback on that. So, and because I work in the HR branch for my particular department, there is already chatter of, you know, possibly enforcing disciplinary action for those that do not comply. So,
okay.
Fun times! Fun times. How about you, Paul? How's the start of your 2022 been?
Okay, yeah, I've been working with, I do work for a government department, but, yeah, we are flat out trying to help people who have no money due to not being able to work at the moment. So, this is awesome. So I've been doing a bit of processing, which is not my usual bag. I've started my 2022 lists. I've added TV to the list and podcasts.
Your little your counting app thing.
Yeah, my counting app. Yep. So I've I'm counting all the movies I watched again and the comics I've read and digital and stuff, and it's all very obsessive. I was trying to say something positive about it, but I think it's just testament to my OCD.
I was hoping you'd get there on your own, and I'm glad that you did, because I don't know any other way to say it.
What do you mean?
But no, it's good to have a hobby, and this is a hobby on top of hobbies. So,
yes.
Yay.
Yes, so when I read a comic, I mark in the date that I read it in my CLZ app. And I've just, you know, I've shaken things up this year and started marking when I reread a comic that I've read previously.
Oh, wow.
Because I don't think they were in the CLZ app when I first purchased them. So, you know, like I'm
okay.
Catwoman trades. So, you know, I know which ones I've read on which dates. So, yes, but I'm working my way through the Ed Brubaker Catwoman run.
Okay.
And it's interesting to see the roots of the crime writer that he became in his work in that comic. So,
cool.
Yeah. So, TV, Mike, have you been enjoying any television?
I finally started catching up with the rest of the world and started watching Hawkeye.
Hawkeye?
Yeah, that Hawk guy. That's been entertaining. So
now, that's a spin-off from Cobra Kai, isn't it, Hawkeye?
Paul.
Yes.
No, it's not. It is not, Paul.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
It's rare that you're wrong, but you are in this case. What? No, it's Hawkeye from the Avengers, you dingus. That's been fun. What else have I been watching? Not a whole heap. I did see Encanto in the cinemas, and then I watched it again Christmas Day as soon as it was available on Disney Plus, because I loved Encanto. Awesome film.
What's the elevator pitch if you're watching in an elevator?
The one member of a gifted family who does not have a gift must save said family.
Oh, okay.
Yes. With songs.
With songs.
With songs and, you know, dancing animals and stuff.
Does he save them with songs?
No. She and her family, they all sing songs.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah.
To help progress the story. And there's one of the characters, Luisa. She's literally this, you know, this strong woman. She's got muscles bulging out of her, and she's, you know, throwing houses around and carrying donkeys around. And she does this. If you've ever wanted to hear a Disney song about the pressures of being a responsible grown up, check out the song Surface Pressure by Luisa Madrigal from the film Encanto. Because I was, when that hit, when that played, you know, during the movie in the cinema, it's like, holy heck, this is the first Disney song as an adult I've actually really identified with.
Okay.
But it's got a good beat, and there are donkeys dancing around to it as well, so, you know, bit of whimsy with the seriousness, so.
They shake their ass.
Oh my. I'll pay that one. That was good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well. It's unlike me to do a pun, but there you go.
I know, it's really rare. You let your head down for the new year.
Yeah, I'm getting so old now that I feel like my dad jokes are becoming granddad jokes. So.
Oh dear.
Mm.
Oh, better watch that. Yeah. Wow. I can't think of what else I've been. I'm still not watching a lot of TV.
Hawkeye. You said you were. Have you?
Yeah, Hawkeye.
I completed Hawkeye, or
no, not yet. Don't be silly. Of course not.
Well, it is six episodes.
I know. Speaking of six episodes, I did start watching The Book of Boba Fett.
Oh, yeah?
And I gave up after the third episode.
Oh, no. I just started it last night, and I was like... I said, I heard everyone thinks this is slow, and I was like, I'm here for it. I dig a bit of, you know, Tusken Raider politics and stuff.
Yeah, no, I figured, you know what? Three eps, not really grabbing me, gonna bail out here. But look, if people are enjoying it, more power to them. You know, I'm glad they're finding enjoyment somewhere in this crazy old world, but it didn't do it for me.
I don't know. You have one, you're at a party, and then suddenly everyone's snorting lizards, and it's we've all been there.
Have we, Paul? Have we all been there? Wow. What goes on at the parties you go to? Well, I think you know now.
Oh dear.
What have you been watching that's grabbed your fancy? Boba Fett, obviously.
Boba Fett. I've been watching Mr. Fett. I hope they do a comic adaptation of it, because I'd really like to read the book of Boba Fett.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
You didn't have to do that.
Yeah. Whatever. All right. Now it's confessional time.
Okay.
Are you aware of a reality show called Sister Wives?
I think I've heard mention of it, but I have not seen it because I'm adverse to reality TV in general. But enlighten me, please.
All right. So this is a reality show documenting the life of a plural family. So it's a guy called Cody and his four wives.
Four?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. but yeah, my wife has been watching it for many years, and I usually watch along with her because I'm kind like that. And unfortunately, I have actually become quite interested in what's going on. And it's interesting that their four wives and 18 kids or whatever they've got they are not surviving COVID. Like, it is imploding the family in the worst way. So it's
18 kids. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm just waiting for the point where they go, okay, I don't want this to be a reality show anymore, as my, you know, my marriage is ending with one of them, and, you know, all this sort of stuff. But they haven't reached that point. Obviously, there's some good money involved, and it's factored into the family's budget. So, unbelievable. So yeah, I mean, part of it was that they have a bit of immunocompromise in the family, so with one of the wives and the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So he was trying to protect them, and at the same time, you know, you've got kids who are 18 and 19 who don't really want to, you know, hey, I'm going to stay at home all the time so dad can come around once every fortnight. It's gotten so ugly.
Wow.
Yeah, anyway, yes, so. But that, yeah, that's a bit of a mild obsession. But it is very visceral, and it is not sensationally done. It's not like, you know, those rally shows where everyone gets drunk and goes to parties and then fights each other.
Mm-hmm.
that seems to be the way they feel those, you know, dramas. Yeah, it's much more visceral than that, but hoo boy, you know, like the logistics. I mean, it's difficult having one wife, I find. You know,
yeah.
As far as, you know, prioritizing your life to make one woman, you know, the priority in your life, and it's special. I almost said some bad things then.
And also, can we say it's not difficult? It's you know,
it's wonderful.
More than one is difficult.
Yeah.
Personally, so yeah.
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 Anyway, so no, but
we, four wives, four 18 wives, kids.
18 kids. Yeah.
Was this man hit in the head repeatedly in his youth?
Well, apparently it's so he can get into heaven. So.
Oh, fuck off. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, good luck to them all. Oh, my God.
So, we are recording this on what some people call Australia Day. So, Mike, do you want to share your thoughts on Australia Day?
I lean more towards the Invasion Day side of things.
Yeah.
Because the Indigenous people of this country are treated kind of shit. And so in my youth, I would have celebrated it more in general. These days, I don't really do much of anything to celebrate it at all. I do enjoy the fact that it's a public holiday, and so that I can do things like, you know, get up early and podcast with my good buddy. But yeah, no,
Australians don't have traditions. I mean, I think that's what one thing, like, they pretend they do, but our traditions are so historically shallow that they have no depth to them. And, you know, like, we are a very young country. We are a little over 200 years old.
Yes.
And, you know, the fact that there's a whole bunch of people who go, oh, we've got to celebrate on this date because it's traditional. It's like, is it really? And, you know, basically what they're saying is, I don't care that I upset all these people who, you know, lost all agency in their own country on this date. So,
yeah.
But, as long as, you know, they can have a drink and stuff. You know, like, we have Anzac Day, which I think is a lot more, a lot more of a significant day for Australians because it celebrates, you know, the losses in the war. Well, not celebrates, it memorialises the losses that we've had in world wars and, you know, conflicts around the world and stuff. And, you know, it's solemn, and I get that because, you know, we're saying let's honour the Australian and New Zealanders who sacrificed lives to maintain our freedom, you know, back when wars were uncomplicated as far as who's on the right side in these things. Australia Day, it's a load of bullshit. It could be any day, and we could call it anything. We could call it Don't Go to Work Day and have it in July, and everyone would be happy.
Yes. Yeah. It's just... Yeah, I don't find... It's kind of celebrating colonialism and, you know, isn't the white man great? And it's like, not back when we came and stole a bunch of land and, you know, treated the native people, you know, horribly.
Well, we rocked up and said, hey, natives, we've decided no one lives here. So we would like it. Thank you. It's ours.
Yeah. Yeah. I just... and look, people are going to get patriotic and all this stuff and, you know, have the Australian flag flying in miniature form from their car windows and that. And like, you know, good for you, whatever. But I just don't have the enthusiasm for quote unquote celebrating something like this. So, but you're right. It's basically, hey, you know, kick back, have the day off day. We need a better reason to celebrate as a nation, like Anzac Day, I guess, which I guess for folks in the States would be like Memorial Day, I think. It's just we need a better reason to celebrate, and it's just It's just, it's don't go to work, but stay home on podcast day for me.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I want to have an update. How's your Detective Comics collection?
Oh, wow. Funnily enough, when we were in Melbourne visiting Kylie's family, I was checking out the comic stores that we could get to, because we did a lot of traveling, because our relatives are, you know, about 2 hours out of Melbourne city itself. So, you know, it was a lot of traveling across the weekend. I thought, okay, well, look, oh, we're going to meet this relative here. Oh, there's a comic store about 20 minutes away from there. We'll see if we can get to it. If not, not the end of the world, because, oh, look, they do online ordering, blah, blah, blah. And I found that they had, you know, a bunch of Detective Comics in their online store. I thought, cool, I'll get those. I'll place the order. You know, the order went through fine and, you know, all seemed good. And then Monday of this week, they still hadn't turned up. I was like, okay, that's 2 weeks ago now. There's something weird going on. So I logged into, I had to create an account with their online store. And so I went in and checked my order history, and it said that the order was on hold as its status. And I thought, oh, what's going on here? It's a bit odd. It was only like, I think, 5 single issues. So, you know, it's not like a massive box of stuff that they had to put together. So I sent them a very polite email saying, hi, just, you know, hoping I can get an update on this order. You know, it was placed on the 10th and I haven't heard anything since, and it's apparently on hold. Just wondering if there was an issue with my card, whatever. And a guy from the store got back and basically said, look, really sorry, but a few of our staff members have been hit with COVID and we're weeks behind catching up on orders.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, and I felt like a bit of an asshole for complaining about, well, not complaining, but, you know, inquiring about my comic order. So I wrote back to him and said, oh, yeah, you know, really sorry to hear that. Hope things, you know, improve for you guys shortly. And, yeah, that was it. And I was just like, oh, God. Whoops.
Well, I would just confirm I don't think your behavior is in the realm of the asshole category.
Okay.
I think you've been very polite and kind and accommodating. And,
well, yeah, I was just like, you know, what's yeah. going on? You know, just an update. But anyway, once those arrive, I will have an uninterrupted run of Detective Comics from issue 592 to 813. So, pretty happy with that. That's a big bunch of comics. So, and like, I've got more either side of that run, but yeah, there's, you know, one of the hardest issues for me to track down is one where Batman faces off against an Indigenous Australian character.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Is that the, in the fives, yeah?
Yeah, I think it's 591.
I used to have that one.
Yeah, because that character, I believe from the synopsis, he's trying to reclaim an artifact from his tribe that has somehow ended up in Gotham, because of course. So yeah, it's like bright yellow in the background, and it's got the Aboriginal gentleman there facing up against Batman. I cannot find that one anywhere other than overseas for a ridiculous price. One day it will be mine. So.
Well, we have many kind listeners, so kind listeners, if you're listening and you have that comic and you can live without it, talk to Mike. Talk to Mike.
You know, and you don't have to, but yeah, I'll take any generous offers. Anyway.
I've been scared to... I posted some comics overseas to someone recently, and I'm actually very curious to see if they make it there just because of the way the world is, because... I've had trouble getting things from America and have sort of given up for the time being. Decided it might be easier just to go to America and get them myself rather than rely on a global mail system, which technically should function.
You would think so, yes.
Yeah.
I can confirm that the mail is working, but it is taking a bit of time. Let me see. I'm just checking. I posted something to a friend in the States on December 18th.
Yeah.
And they confirmed that they got it on January the 7th.
Okay.
So that's not...
Three weeks. three and a bit.
Just under 3 weeks.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So it's still working, but given the current global conditions in which we live, yeah, a little bit slower, I would have thought. Than normal.
Yes. I must admit, like, when a couple of years ago, when the pandemic started, I thought, okay, I will plan to go to Heroes Con in 2023. Heroes Con, it's a comic convention in America, Mike.
Heroes Con.
I've been to Heroes Con. I just want you to know that.
Heroes Con.
And that's in Charlotte, in North Carolina? North
Carolina. I think you're just making words up.
Is it North Carolina or South Carolina?
It's North Carolina. Come on.
It's in the Carolinas.
It's in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Thank you, Mike.
I would know because I've been to Heroes Con twice.
Oh, you son of a bitch. not a competition.
Uh-huh. Anyway, you were saying you wanted to go back there, but...
Yeah, no, I'm 2023. I've always said that's when I'm going back. My youngest has finished high schooling at that point and will be, you know, unemployed around the house by then. I thought, okay, no more school fees. Let's head off and, you know, I'll meet everyone. I've been telling everyone I'm going to be there for 2023 Heroes Con. I'm starting to get worried because, you know, I've expected the world to actually settle down at some point and this pandemic to, you know, we'd all get vaccinated and then, you know, who can imagine a world where, you know, getting a vaccine is a bad idea to some people?
Are you new here?
Yeah.
But no, I share that sentiment. It's like, we don't know what's in it. It's like, yeah, cool, yet you'll go and chow down on the Colonel's 11 secret herbs and fucking spices and you don't know what they all are, so yeah. Shut your mouth and get fucking vaccine.
Yeah. I don't want to wear a mask. Yeah. Dumber.
Yeah,
I'm being oppressed like a... like during the Holocaust. No, you're not. It's different. I was in Albury and I saw a guy, a young guy, wearing a t-shirt. And you probably know where this is going. His yellow t-shirt had the words freedom, 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 freedom on the back of it.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. So he was styling a t-shirt for the Palmer United Party, which is... basically the party for morons who think that supporting a billionaire's personal interests is actually about their personal interests, you know, because there's nothing that billionaires love more than it's looking out for the little guy. But basically, yeah, we have this guy called Clive Palmer, who is a mining magnate, so you know, a true man of the people. He is basically wants the government to stay out of his business. So he basically does this political party that undermines all the elections and basically siphons off votes towards his party, where he then gives the preferences to the Liberals, who are, you know, the incumbents that he already criticises, basically saying for deals. So, you know, when COVID struck and, you know, we gave a lot of money to millionaires to help them out because that was the best way through the pandemic. So,
yeah, won't someone please think of the millionaires?
Yeah.
Please. Yeah.
We've got to look out for the millionaires because they look out for us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
Anyway, so, yeah.
Every time I see a Clive Palmer ad where he's going, freedoms, 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 they're going to take away your freedoms. I'm like, no, mate, you're more concerned about your freedoms. Yeah. And this sounds like an it's you, not an it's me.
Yeah.
So then I change the channel.
Well, it's hucksterism. It's absolute bullshit. Anyway, it makes me angry. But we've basically gotten rid of commercial TV at home now, so we are only watching things online. Mm-hmm. So... I haven't even seen one of his ads this year, and that's made me happy.
Lucky. God.
Yeah, but the guy wearing this t-shirt basically meant he could wander around JB Hi-Fi without wearing a mask. So.
Right.
Because freedoms, you know.
Freedoms, yep. There's... You're absolutely right, sir. You know, if you feel that a mask is going to impinge upon your freedoms, fine, fuck off, don't wear your mask, and go and die from a pandemic.
Hmm.
You know, enjoy your freedoms. from beyond the grave.
I hope you get a surgeon who doesn't want to wear a mask while he operates on
them. Yeah, yeah. Or wear gloves. Or, you know, sterilize his equipment. You know, why bother? Why bother doing the right thing?
It's freedom. It's about freedom. Your rights.
Yeah. I'm not going to sterilize this medical equipment. I'm saving water because it's my freedom and my choice to do so. Whatever.
Mm.
God, people fucking infuriate me.
I know. Yeah.
This is why aliens never come down to our planet. Because they hover and they fucking monitor our communication systems and they go, are these beings serious?
Uh-huh.
Are they actually serious? And then they fly away.
This is a shit show. Let's leave it.
Yep. Yep. You know, they find more intelligence in the cows, and that's why the cows get abducted and tested back, because they go, wow, these cows are actually smarter than a lot of the human beings on this planet.
Mm.
But let's just return the cows, just so no one gets suspicious.
Yeah. Mm. But as far as other things I'm watching, to swiftly change tact in a subtle
way. Oh.
I've been watching Blake 7. I'm re-watching Blake 7.
Which oh, wow. Okay.
I used to love as a young man. So, and if it holds up. It has that sort of British TV sci-fi dodginess where everything's sort of glued on and doesn't fit right. And, you know, there's, you know, a piece of cellophane with lights under it and the lights are moving around and people just move their hands over it as if they're doing something. Pressing random buttons all the time and saying, repeating what they're doing. It has all that going for it, but geez, the acting's good and the, you know, the melodrama of it is really fun. And it really has no soap opera. Like, there's no, you know, no one's interested in, you know, getting with each other. It's all about, you know, a whole bunch of people who are just, you know, freedom fighting or, you know, pushing their different agendas, and I love it. And that's mostly due to Ashford and what's his face? I'm going to edit this one, so I'll catch this. Bold Outlaw, that guy.
Oh, Bold Outlaw guy. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On Twitter. So, yeah, they've been talking about it, and yeah. Blake 7. Damn, such a good show. Yeah, but they do the Straight Out of the Federation podcast.
Right.
A play on Straight Out of Gallifrey, which is a play on...
Out of where?
Straight Out of Gallifrey.
Right.
Don't be Gallifreyed.
Okay. Oh, God.
Yeah, so I've been enjoying that, and yeah, I've been putting it on with my wife in the room, because it's one of those shows that she can basically ignore, but I think even she is starting to enjoy the character interplay.
Well, look, I think that's fair, considering you watch that Sister Wives show with her. You know,
yeah.
She can watch something... Four wives and 18 children. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Good time.
My mind is blown and not in a good way.
Yeah. So. Can you imagine just keeping track of the birthdays?
Oh, God. No. Oh, Jesus.
It's a birthday. It's an anniversary. It's a birthday. It's an anniversary. And there's grandchildren, too, coming along. It's like,
oh, what?
He's like no a wonder... three-time granddad as well.
Oh, my goodness. No wonder they don't want to, you know, kick the production crew out of the house. Like, they're clearly earning mint from that, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I think the only reality TV show I've kind of tolerated is my wife is a fan of that Below Deck show.
Oh, yeah.
It's about the crew, you know, working on a luxury yacht that people can rent out, and just to see how the other half live, and the sort of upstairs, downstairs differences, and then it surely at the end of a job, you know, they go, the young crew go ashore and get drunk and party, and it's like, that's the point my brain switches off. But yeah, I'm not one for reality TV much. Anyway,
I've seen ads for that. It always looks like a video clip from the Venga Boys.
that's a good description. Yeah.
Put
some Venga Boys music over it, and yeah, it's a free film clip for them.
I'm starting to think the Venga bus is not coming.
I think the Venga bus pulled over a long time ago, Paul.
But probably. They do indeed like to party.
Well, that's true, but, you know, if your bus isn't going to turn up,
no.
You're kind of stuck for location choices, really.
Yeah. Venga transport is really, you know, disappointing in the current age.
And this was before the pandemic as well.
Yeah, the Venga infrastructure just is not there.
The Venga structure.
We need some high-speed Venga trains.
Something, yeah. You know? An underground Venga line would have been handy. The Venga ground. Sorry, dude.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God. I've got that bloody song stuck in my head now. Oh, gosh.
Oh, no.
Yeah, speaking of music.
Yes.
Did you, because you're a young, hip-happening dude, did you happen to hear anything related to the Triple J Hottest 100 for 2021?
I heard the headlines, young Mike. Yes, I did.
For those unaware, the Triple J Hottest 100 is a countdown of basically listeners' favourite tracks from a particular year. And the recent weekend passed, they counted down from 100 to 1. And the most popular choice for listeners of the Triple J Youth radio station was The Wiggles doing a cover version of the song Elephant, originally done by Tame Impala. And I was like, what?
Have you heard the song before?
The original?
In either version? I'd heard the cover. I remember it
hitting the news
a few months, you know, about 9 months ago, whenever it was.
Yeah, I'd heard the original by Tame Impala, and I was like, yeah, that's right. It's very Tame Impala-ish. And then I was kind of aware the Wiggles had done a cover version. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. And then I went and checked out the full version of the Wiggles version. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. I can see it's a bit cheery and a bit silly. And given the current environment in which we live, I can see people wanting a bit of levity and bright colours and silliness for their musical choice for this. So yeah, it was a bit of fun, but it was kind of okay, young people. Yeah, there's your choice.
I mean, it didn't offend me because I feel like, you know, like I was last comfortable with the Hottest 100 around the year 2000, so
mm-hmm.
when it was a bit, you know, Silverchair and stuff like that. But Triple J just makes me feel old. So, you know, have at it, have your little controversy, everyone. It's fun. Why not? But I mean, the Beatles were together about a third of the time that the Wiggles have been together. So, yeah.
Oh wow!
And the Hottest 100 has been going since the early 90s.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. I kind of checked out of the Hottest 100. I can't remember what year it was, but it probably would have been late 90s, early 2000s when Powderfinger won it 1 year.
I hate Powderfinger. Powderfinger is so whiny.
Yes, and the fact that they got number one with one of their whiniest songs, which I can't even recall now, I was like, really?
Was it okay. My Happiness?
I think it was, yeah. And I was like, oh. I'm bleeding from the ears.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. The listeners need to know, and we can't really play music on this show anymore unless we want to get a copyright strike against us again. But yeah, I was kind of like, really? That's what, you know, my generation thinks is the best song of this year, really? Mm. And then I kind of checked out.
Australian music was going through a really bad patch around then. I mean, you had just these super serious bands like Something for Kate and yuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not like when we had the Jebediahs. Remember the Jebediahs?
Oh, they were fun.
Yeah. Leaving home.
I call that song. I have my own version of that song of theirs, Leaving Home, but I call it Blocked Up Nose because it sounds like he's singing with a blocked up nose. Blocked up nose.
It's like a human kazoo, that song. Anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. God, showing her age now.
Old men whinge about current music. It's timeless.
Get off our collective lawns, young people. Yes. gosh.
So what's the last thing you bought yourself for fun? Indulgence. Have you been doing the Legos?
I have not been doing any Legos of late because I'm as tempted as I've been. There hasn't been anything that really made me want to grab the wallet and go, yes, I must have this. Partly because it, whatever the theme was, and partly because I'm running out of room. Probably the last big thing I bought Which came as a surprise to my regular gaming buddies, but I've fallen in love with the, for those that don't know, I do tabletop miniature wargaming, and I, you know, paint them for other people as a side hustle. So I kind of went on a bit of a splurge for all this Lord of the Rings related miniature gaming. So I got, there's a separate board game called The Battle of Balin's Tomb, which comes with the Fellowship of the Ring fighting against the Cave Troll and the Moria Goblins. And
How good was that bit of the movie?
I love that bit.
That's the best bit. I mean, from there, when they walk in, like, they come up and there's the you know, the creepy lake out the front, all the way through to, you know, fly, you fools. It's so bloody good. Love it.
Yeah.
That's why I quite often say that that's my favourite movie.
Okay.
Apart from Tremors.
I was going to say, you mean favorite movie of the trilogy?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, it's bloody good film.
It is. So I got that. I got, there's a big starter box called The Battle of Pelennor Fields, which has Riders of Rohan and the Dead of Dunharrow facing off against all these orcs and another giant troll. And so the last big thing I bought, which I still haven't opened yet, because I want to build and paint the Riders of Rohan, but it's a big box called the Rohan Stronghold, and it is a massive box that comes with, you can probably hear me lifting it up, you can build like six different Rohan houses, and it's got a couple of watchtowers and gates and giant palisade walls, and it's massive.
Does it have the drive-in of Rohan? The drive-through? Has it got that?
No. Right. I don't know what you're talking about.
In the movie, you can see some of the riders going through a takeaway food place and getting takeaway through the window.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you shitting me? I'll have to go and watch it now.
Yeah.
Again. I'll have to watch that again. Oh, wow. No, I wasn't aware of that. Anyway, yes. So when my friends saw that, they were like, wow, you've really gone hard into this Middle Earth battle game. And I was like, yes, I have. So, and that was a very large purchase. I'm not talking like giant G.I. Joe rocket ship levels, but it was a pretty big purchase.
You know what a lot of people order?
What?
The Warg burger.
Oh my god. Right. Do they now? I knew. Is that a real thing? They were getting takeaway food on set in the film.
Oh, it's in the movie, yeah, for sure.
I'm gonna have to watch this very closely, and if you're shitting me, you will hear about this, young man. Good lord. Yeah. So that's probably but after that I was like, okay, I have so many miniature things in my backlog of stuff to finish that's it. I'm not buying anything more until I clear my entire backlog, which is really annoying when certain game companies keep revealing all this new stuff coming out this year.
Are you going to get the Treebeard Disco set?
What Treebeard Disco set?
Ents.
Oh. Two for two. No, I won't be getting that set because the Ents on their own are quite expensive. So
are they?
They're not cheap. They're because they're quite large figures and quite large models. I'm kind of like. And I'm trying to be very sensible and limit.
Limit it to certain parts of Middle Earth.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, cool, I've got the Fellowship. Okay, that's cool. This big starter set, it comes with Rohan Warriors and the Dead of Dunharrow. Okay, be good, Michael.
I just want the Ghost Army. I don't want to go nuts.
Yes. And even for that, I had to get the King of the Dead. He came in a separate box with two other figures. I was like, okay, that I kind of need him to have a leader for the army. So I've just looked it up on Games Workshop. Treebeard,
yeah,
who comes with Merry and Pippin, mm-hmm. That alone is $125.
Yikes.
And a stock standard generic Ent is $72.
Wow.
So, and this isn't Australian dollars, so...
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, not a cheap hobby, so... I'm kind of being very... but I'm not buying anything more until I clear, and I've got a lot of stuff to clear. So, okay. Yeah, good times. Have you made any big recent splurges other than your 10-inch copperhead?
My 10-inch copperhead? I'll send you a pic later.
You already did.
I got a new laptop for Christmas. Nice. So, yes, I as you may know, I had troubles with my laptop. So
yes.
So for most of last year, I was podcasting with my son's laptop, which is new and modern, of course, and I was using my son's really old laptop as I inherited. But it has a What do you call it? A CD drive, a disk drive.
Oh, wow.
Which, you know, I find quite useful because I'm, you know, I have trouble adapting. So I do occasionally buy a CD. I got this new laptop. And one of the joys of having a brand new laptop is just absolutely controlling what's on it. Like, there's no software I don't want on it. There's, you know, like... Every now and then it pops up and says, hey, would you like to have this diagnostic thing? And they go, no. And I just say, no. And then after a while it goes, hey, we noticed you haven't installed the diagnostic thing. And I says, yes, I haven't. And then one day I opened it and said, hey, we've installed it for you. So I just went into the settings and I uninstalled it. So I don't want any of this crap. You know, I have a VPN that I use to protect my computer. But yeah, there's nothing like, there's no... you know, daughter's resumes on it or any of that crap. Yeah, so it's very much just a single-minded podcasting laptop.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm quite happy with that. For the first time in life, I've stuck stickers on a laptop, which I've haven't
done.
You know, it's not that I didn't want to in earlier in life. We just didn't have laptops when I was young.
No, we most likely did not.
Yes, I've got some Karl Stark stickers on my laptop.
Oh, cool.
And a sticker of Killaroo. Killaroo.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. From Semper Fidelis. That's kind of fun. Comic deliveries have been sort of delayed for me, so... but I lost track over Christmas, so I was going and they said, oh, here's some comics. And you go, oh, okay, and you buy them, but they were the comics you wanted 3 weeks ago. So, you know, but if you come back next week, you get the ones you wanted 2 weeks ago, etc.
Right.
So as long as you're avoiding the spoilers and stuff, you're okay. I'm okay. So I'll probably get some more comics this week. I got my read pile down to zero. I finally did it. I read all the two omnibuses I had waiting, and then I was down to flatlined on zero. So now whenever I buy new comics, it just goes up a few, and then I read them straight away, it goes down a few. So I'm finally in that sweet spot. What do they call it? The magic hour.
Do they?
No, they don't call it. I don't know.
I think they call it the ooh, look at me, I've got zero in my read pile. I think that's what they call it.
The wanker zone. Yeah, so I am aware that when I go online and say, hey, I've read everything in my read pile, there's, you know, 4,000 comic nerds going, fuck you.
Hey, at least that'd take it up to 5. look, I'm very happy that your read pile is down to zero.
You sound bitter.
Well,
let it go.
Me sounding bitter? Never. When would that ever happen? About a week ago, I managed to read 5 comics. But I am going to get some done today because it's, you know, stay home and read comics day.
It is traditional.
Or invasion day, depending.
You had a really weird... you did a photo of comics this year, and I thought, that's a really weird old comic for you to have. What was it? It's an old...
Sandman.
Sandman, that's it.
Yeah, it was Sandman number 4.
And when I say old, I don't mean Neil Gaiman Sandman. I mean
No. This is Jack Kirby Sandman.
Where the hell did he get that?
I have a guy.
You've got a Kirby friend, man, have you?
I have a friend Brad, Brad Daniels does his own comic stuff called Edge Comics, and he also sells comics at a market stall every fortnight in Brisbane Square, for those that live in Brisbane. And he often gets in, you know, old stuff, new stuff, you know, weird old and new stuff. And one of them that I read was his comic called Stupid Stuff You Can't Unknow, where basically he takes old comic art and puts his own new humorous dialogue in the word balloons and such. And it was quite funny. So anyway, Brad had a few issues of the Kirby Sandman, and I was like, oh my god, I need to get at least one of these just to check them out. And because my first introduction to this Sandman and his cohorts Brute and Glob and, you know, Little Jed was in the Gaiman Sandman. So, you know, it all does tie together somehow. And in this particular one, aliens were going to try and invade Earth, but sneak in through the back door known as, like, the Dream World. They were going to terrorize everyone through the dreams first, and then pop out and invade Earth that way. And it was really weird. it was, like, really cool. And like, the comic is in, like, great condition. But yeah, it was really weird, and thankfully young Jed, who lives with his grandfather, the lighthouse keeper, which again, you know, was in the game in Sandman comics.
Yeah.
Jed helps fight off these aliens in the dreamscape with the use of his yo-yo. So he's doing, you know, round the worlds and walk the dogs, and then letting the yo-yo fly into the head of the alien leader, who is suddenly, like, startled and taken aback by this mysterious Earth weapon.
As you would be.
Yeah. It was so weird. And, like, you know, when Granddad is telling Jed to go to bed, and Jed said, he actually asked his Granddad if it would be alright for him to take the yo-yo to bed with him. I was like, that's a really weird question to ask. Wouldn't you just do it?
Yeah.
What's Granddad going to go, no, that's unnatural and you'll go to hell.
Okay.
Man and yo-yo should not sleep together. So
unless it's a no strings attached
around. Oh my god.
What did you pay, may I ask what you paid for that one?
I paid $20 Australian for that one.
Oh, that's a bloody good bargain.
It's a very good bargain, and it's in fantastic condition. There's the only slight blemish on it is, I'm looking at it right now. There's, you know, sometimes you get old comics and there's, like, someone's written their name on it, you know, like, oh, Bobby's comic, or you know, there's pages missing or torn. There's nothing. It's in fantastic condition. And, you know, for a comic that came out in late 75, so gosh, it's about my age. It's like the pages are a little bit yellowed because it's older, blah, blah, blah. But it's such great condition, and it's a weird old relic, and I kind of just needed to see it for myself, and I'm glad I did. So I thought, you know what, $20, that's I was happy to part with it.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Wow. So, so much for not talking about comics on this show.
Well, it's been a while. I mean, we don't have the outlet that we...
No.
Yeah, but, I mean, Waiting for Doom's coming back soon, kiddies, don't worry. There's a new episode. We're going to be talking about the comic that comes out in March, The World's Finest. So.
Yes.
March.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I mean, do you think we're winding this up, Mike, or you got more to share? Do you want to tell the story of your incredibly out of control night in Brisbane?
Which one?
You know the one.
Oh, look, no, I think... look, considering that happened around my birthday about 25 years ago now, let's save it for when my birthday rolls around this year. That is my promise to the listeners. I will unveil this story that we have hyped up beyond belief, which will probably just make the people roll their eyes when they do finally hear it. Let's save it for when it's my birthday this year.
It's a bit like that episode of Ted Lasso when Coach Beard is on the town on his own. That's what I'm just going to tease it.
It is a little bit, but it also isn't. And well, I didn't get beaten up.
No.
You
got arrested.
I got arrested. Yeah. And the cops were a bit firm, you know. And they slammed their hand down on my shoulder. Oh God, I felt it. Yeah, look, let's save. Okay, that is my promise. When we get to doing an episode of the Gary Show, closer, you know, around the time of my birthday, which is June 15th, you know, for those who care, I will reveal the full story then. Because yes, it happened just before my 21st birthday, and I'm turning 47 this year. So, you know, I think the 26th anniversary is clearly the logical time to relive the story.
Yes. Well, I'm yeah. Wow. I'm heading into my wife and I were discussing this the other day, because I think I'm heading into my mid-50s, and she said, you're not in your mid-50s, you're only turning 54. It's like, well, where are the mid-50s? Is it only 55 that you're in your mid-50s? I think mid-50s would be 54, 55, and 56. That seems like a decent chunk that you would call the mid.
I would agree with you. Because, yeah. You know, looking at a range of numbers, I think, you know, anything 4 to anything 6... is the mid.
Yeah.
1 to 3, low. 7 to 9, the high.
4 to 6,
so,
mid.
Mid.
So, yeah, I'm going to be mid-50s, bitches.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. I'm coping so well. I love the deterioration of my body and my mind. It's a treat.
Should we start getting the smoke machine and the laser lights ready?
It's always ready. I don't know. I just feel like... maybe
you've got them all in a shed somewhere.
Yeah, catapult me over the hill. I don't care. Whatever.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I'm going to be fertilizer.
Right.
Yeah. The main thing is I'm going to do it with dignity.
And style.
And style. Yes.
Because freedom, freedom, freedom. It's your choice.
Freedom, freedom, freedom. Yes. I just really want the billionaires to be looked after, mate. That's, you know...
I want them
to be able to explore space as a hobby. I want them to have that freedom.
Honey, I'm just popping off to Mars for the weekend. You want anything while I'm gone?
They're basically, oh, we're fucked up this planet. We better have a contingency plan. Did you watch Don't Look Up yet?
I saw probably the last third of it. I'd been out somewhere and I got home and Kylie was already watching it. And I was kind of like, eh, okay, yeah. So I've seen the end and the very end during the credits where they finally figure out what that word was with the president.
Right.
But yeah, I have not seen the entire thing from the start, but I've seen enough to know. Yeah, it was all right. Yeah.
There's a comic called, I think it's The Punisher the End by Richard Corbin and Garth Ennis. But basically it's the Punisher in the wasteland trudging around. And he's on some sort of mission, and it takes you a while to work out what the mission is. But basically, he finds the bunker where all the rich people are after they've fucked up the entire planet, and he kills them all. And everyone's going, don't kill us. You know, we're the last of the human race. Why are you doing this? And he's just like, you know, it's the right thing to do. Goodbye. And that reminded me of that, you know. And it reminds me of the world that we live in every day.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, they are buggering up the planet, but yeah, they've got plans to get out of it.
Oof, oh, yeah.
So spicily political and angry, aren't we?
This is what happens when we don't do a Gary Show since the middle of last year.
Yes, so. But I did want to take this time. I feel like we put out some good podcasts, you and I, or me, and on our own and stuff. Like we provide some entertainment. I feel like we're just stagnating a bit in far as audience appreciation. Like we have to get any feedback now. I know people are listening, but Paulie needs a bit of sugar. I need to know that you people care about us. So it'd be great if you could leave some sort of a review on some sort of review platform, like Apple Podcasts or Google or Twitter or, you know, just be lovely if you could just plug our stuff a bit or, you know, just let us know that you're listening and you care. I'm going to be dead one day and I won't have much to take with me except, you know, good thoughts as I die. So you don't want me to be sad at this point. You could scold me for my obsession with death, like Martin Gray has. I try to go out of my way to let podcasters know that I love their stuff. So, and as I'm such a clear role model for people, I think you should do the same. Hey, Mike. The views expressed by Paul at this part of the podcast are not the views of the entire podcasting community on this podcast at this stage. Written and spoken for by Paul Hicks.
Freedoms! Yes, look, some feedback, just even a friendly hello, that would be much appreciated. I know that, look, I'm going to admit, I have been a little bit down in the dumps since the start of the year, going back to work, having to work from home. Again, just dealing with the world in general. So to kind of class up what Paul said, a little bit of validation would be muchly appreciated. Paulie needs some sugar. God damn. And also, for those listening, and Paul, I'm going to ask this of you as well.
Okay, yeah.
Give me, because I'll admit, I'm weird with my media consumption. Like I said, I just started watching Hawkeye and I'm kind of like halfway through it and I still have to finish it. It's only 6 episodes. Similarly, I don't get around to listening to a lot of podcasts, which I feel bad about considering all the support we have gotten over the years. So I would like people to tweet me, email me, Facebook me, whatever, with their suggestion for a podcast I should be listening to and that I should be checking out. So Paul, what's your suggestion for me?
Dial it for Flinger.
So, Paul, what's your suggestion for me?
Dolly.
Sorry, I've got a really bad... I think your computer's playing up. I'm getting really bad static.
There are many that I recommend, but I always, always enjoy Podcaster La Vista, baby, which basically goes through all the Arnold films and talks about their Arnoldness, their inherent. So... That's on the Radio Versus the Martian feed, and probably one of the best podcast names ever created. Mm-hmm. Podcast the La Vista Baby, I recommend that. And
right.
It's a much more popular podcast than we do. But if you haven't heard it, do yourself a favor, as we say in Australia. And
thanks, Molly.
Treat yourself.
Yeah.
Give yourself some sugar. God, I've got to stop saying that. So I would recommend Podcaster La Vista Baby.
Okay.
It's not a comics one, so. But right. There you go. But, you know, even if you're not an Arnoldophile, you've seen some Arnold films. You can't get through life without seeing some Arnold films.
No. You don't get to our age without seeing at least half a dozen Arnold films.
You don't.
That's for sure.
What's your favourite Arnold film?
Ooh, that is a good question. I don't know if I... Man, you've stumped me. Probably Predator.
Really?
Yeah, just because it was... Because, you know, up until that point, I just thought, oh, Arnie's just, you know, big musclehead meat guy that, you know, goes around beating people up. And then this was like this unexpected sci-fi thing. Mm-hmm. For me, at the time that it came out, I was like, oh my god, he's taking on this alien monster. That's so cool. So I would probably say, yeah, Predator. What about you?
I'm a huge Arnie fan. Cliffhanger's my favourite.
Mm-hmm. Right. Uh-huh. I'm not applauding that one.
Okay. Have you seen the new Spider-Man film?
No, I still have not. I still haven't. I kind of missed it in the cinemas, and I guess I'm waiting for it to be on Disney Plus. So
I think it's still in the cinemas.
Probably.
I was going to rank all the Spider-Man films with you, but I can't now.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, well. Into the Spider-Verse is still number one.
Okay.
Then Spider-Man 2.
Was Schwarzenegger in either of those?
No. It was...
Right. You've strayed off topic once again.
Van Damme. Yeah. No, the cliffhanger joke wasn't good. I should edit that. I'm going to edit that out. No,
leave it in.
No one's going to hear that joke. No one.
You're denying the listeners. You're giving the listeners all this sugar and then asking for sugar in return, but you're denying them.
Yeah, but
pour
I feel like,
some sugar on them.
I feel like that one was artificial sweetener rather than natural.
Yeah, you could be right.
Yeah, alright, whatever. Yeah. No, but I still hate the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man films. They're so bad.
I only saw the first one and didn't bother with the second one.
Well, my son was like, you know, he wants Mum to see the new Spider-Man film. And he's going, oh, she's got to watch, you know, Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2. And I'm like, no, she doesn't. Let's show her the trailers. You know, show her the trailer for those two films. That'll be enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, all she needs to know is Spider-Man saves the day. The end.
Yeah. Did you see Venom? Did you see the new Venom?
Didn't even see the first one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to not know what's going on at the Oscars.
Yeah, because I heard Venom was hosting, and I was like, who's this guy? What?
And the best film goes to...
Best Actor Award goes to... Come here, let me numb your brain.
You did that very well.
See, half the time, I don't need to rush out and see a film, because there's so much chatter about it online, and then there are so many... There's, like, the teaser trailer, and then the, warm-up trailer, and then the American trailer, then the international trailer, and it's like... You can pretty much piece together what's going on.
Yeah.
And it makes me want to punch Hollywood. Anyway, sorry.
That's one thing I've started doing, is actually watching old horror films that I've never seen. Like, not the 70s slashers and all that sort of stuff. I've gone before that. I'm watching lots of Hammer horror, like Christopher Lee Dracula stuff. And it's very enjoyable.
Cool. Yeah.
It's like Dracula, like... He's basically getting taxis around. He can't turn into a bat. He can't do anything, you know. Like, when he wants to get in somewhere, he just gets his, you know, coffin delivered there by, like, a courier, and then pops out. And I just love the low techness of it. Like, there's no special effects for anything. It's like, you know, just need some red contact lenses and a bit of red paint. Just
oh my
around
gosh.
It. But I was watching one, and I was, I, you will not believe this, Mike. You will.
Okay.
Guess who was in this Dracula film?
Peter Cushing.
No, he was in the one before. No, Charles Budd Tingwall.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. He stays in the mansion, and then he goes. His wife goes, "What's that noise?" And he goes out in the middle of the night to check it out, and he gets like. Mesmerized and then hung upside down and bleeds on Dracula's sand. And it's beloved Australian actor Budd Tingwall, who
oh my gosh,
he's you know, all the non-Australians are going, who? But if you're Australian, you know Budd Tingwall. He's the lawyer in the castle.
Yeah. If you're Australian and you don't know who Budd Tingwall is, you are not Australian.
Yeah, but he's rocking around in this Hammer film pretending to be British. Yeah. And his wife gets taken by the vampires and goes all busty. That's the sign vampires have got you. You go busty.
Yeah, yeah. That's what happened to me. Yeah. And it also happened around my tummy area too. You know. Did I ever tell you my story about my fascination with vampires when I was a youngster? I'm talking like a toddler.
No.
I don't know what got me, probably because my dad was into, you know, comics and scary films and that, and I don't know what triggered it, but I was probably maybe 3 or 4 years old, and apparently I went running up to my mum and I said, "Mummy, look, I'm a vampire." And she turned around, and what I'd done is I'd gotten like a nappy pin, and I had taken the sharp edge and cut into my bottom lip two vertical lines on either side of my bottom lip so that blood was coming out.
What the hell?
And I'd run up to my mum and go, "Look, Mummy, I'm a vampire."
You sick little monster.
Yeah. And to this day, I still have the scars. Like, they healed over and I was fine. Yeah. But, yeah, you know, I've still got the scar lines there on my bottom. But I don't know what triggered. I must have seen something with a vampire or something and thought, they're cool. Those guys look like fun. I want to be one of them. So, yep, get out the old diaper pin. And just start hacking into my face.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hardcore. You're into the scarification.
Yeah. Way back when.
No wonder. Before it was... You got the tattoo. Yeah. sorry, that Dracula film was Dracula, Prince of Darkness. I get the names confused because they're all right. Dracula, colon, something.
Yeah.
That's actually the name of one of them. Dracula, colon, something.
Yeah. Right. That's when he becomes a medical practitioner for his ruse. It was a ruse.
Dr. Acula to emergency.
Oh no, I must perform another colonoscopy. No, my colleagues, I don't know how Nurse Pettigram became much more bustier overnight.
This episode, I think, is our best ever. Like, you know, if
it's our best one yet,
it is our best. I think, yeah. You know, this is as good as it gets. And, you know,
yeah,
if people are nominating episodes for awards, or, you know, this is quintessential Mike and Paul.
Yep. And see, this is why we haven't done a Gary show since July 21, because we've been building up all this quality content for you.
The thing that makes it special is the preparation we put into it and the scripting. Like, everything is scripted.
Yep. Especially, hang on, just got to check my next line. Yep.
It is.
Yep. Yep. Prepared like a fox.
All right, Mike. Well, I'm going to leave you to your day of leisure. Read some comics, Mike. Paint some figures. Don't paint some comics.
No, God, what am I, crazy? No. Yeah. Don't answer that. No.
Maybe.
How dare you, sir?
Maybe dress up as Dracula and entertain the kids.
Yeah, that'll go down real well. Yeah, might dress up as Dracula for the wife, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
I've come to suck your blood.
Your coffin delivered somewhere.
Wink, wink. What are you going to do with your stay home from work day, Paul?
I'm home alone, so I'll get straight onto the editing of this bad boy and get this one out.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think.
Well, look.
I don't think there'll be many edits in it because I think it's pure gold from start to finish.
Yeah. Well, look.
There wasn't a lot of.
What?
There wasn't a lot of talking over each other.
Yeah. See, if I could show you guys
the
script for this episode, that's exactly how it's written as well. Typing it up was a fucking bitch, but, you know, it clearly paid off. All right.
All right, Mike. I wish you a lovely day. And,
and you, sir. And listeners, thanks for joining us for our best episode ever. Gary's show will be back at some point.
I'm going to call it best episode ever, just so people know. So they're not surprised when they...
Oh, I think they'll be surprised. All right, let's get out of here.
All right.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Stay bye, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Send the sugar.
Thank you.